This morning, you won't be surprised that I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how he, the Holy Spirit, descended upon the church in Acts chapter 2, alighting upon Mary, the apostles, and the 120 who were gathered together in that same room where our Lord had celebrated the Eucharist. And we're told that he appeared as if being tongues of fire. Now, I want to sit with this picture today and think about this idea of the Holy Spirit being like fire. And I want to think about three attributes of the Holy Spirit. He is the illuminating spirit, he is the consuming spirit, and he is the warming spirit. He illuminates, he consumes, and he warms, very much like fire. So let's begin by thinking about the illuminating spirit. Jesus, in this morning's gospel, anticipates this work of the Holy Spirit when he says, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." Here, the Holy Spirit is described as the teaching spirit, and he is able to illuminate our minds. When you prepared for your confirmation, you were taught about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about the gifts today in relation to the work of the Spirit. And when we think about the illuminating work of the Spirit, the first four gifts come to mind: wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. What is the gift of wisdom? Well, it is that gift that allows a person to understand God's truth. It is that gift that allows a person to be so inspired that they desire the truth that comes to us from God. A person who has the gift of wisdom is able to take this truth and use it to glorify God and apply it to solutions to problems in their life. Then there's the gift of understanding. And I would like to suggest to you, this gift allows us to comprehend the teaching of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church understands there is a great deposit of faith found in Holy Scripture and in 2,000 years of teaching tradition. A person who receives the gift of understanding is receptive to the magisterial teaching of the Church and wants to more and more order his or her life in accordance with the church's teaching. Wisdom, understanding, leads to the gifts of knowledge and counsel. And these are the two gifts whereby we take what God has given to us and we want to learn to apply it to our lives. The gift of understanding leads to action. Therefore, we could say that it is the application of wisdom and understanding that leads to knowledge and the gift of counsel. And I love the way this is referred to in the Catechism. It's referred to as being the gift of right judgment. This gift allows a person to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. You'll also know from your teaching and your catechesis that there are the four cardinal virtues. And I would like to suggest to you that the illuminating spirit, inspiring the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and counsel, allow us to then be able to grow in prudence. What is prudence? This is what our catechism says. Prudence is the virtue that disposes practical reason to discern our true good in every circumstance and to choose the right in achieving it. I love what the book of Proverbs says about the prudent person. The prudent person looks where he or she is going. St. Thomas Aquinas said this: prudence is right reason in action. In other words, as the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds so that we can think rightly, then in turn, says St. Thomas, we can act appropriately. When this virtue, the virtue of prudence, is illuminated by wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel, our lives are under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. But he is not only the illuminating spirit, he is also the consuming spirit. And in that passage from Romans, St. Paul points to this work of the Holy Spirit when he says, "But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you." Three times, St. Paul refers to the work of the Holy Spirit in those verses. And he wants to tell us this: the influence of sin has an effect on our bodies that it leaves us spiritually dead. Jesus' death was to have its effect by empowering us to die to sin. How does this happen? Well, when we allow the Holy Spirit to refine us, he then consumes that which is not of God, so that more and more we are growing in two more of the cardinal virtues, justice and temperance. And I want to suggest to you that this happens as we allow for the gifts of piety, fortitude, and fear of the Lord to be at work in our lives. What is the gift of piety? It is a desire to serve and to worship God out of love, not just duty. So people who are growing in this gift don't look at Sunday morning and say, "Oh, I have to go to Mass." No, no, they have that sense of a passion. I want to go to Mass. I want to love God. I want to be in God's presence. Added to this is the gift of fortitude, also known as the gift of courage. Through this, a person is no longer afraid to stand up for God and his truths. A person who has the gift of fortitude will stand up against evil and will be convicted to take a stand when occasion arises. And all of this finds its focus in the seventh gift, the fear of the Lord. And if you know the book of Proverbs and the book of Sirach, there we hear the following: the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And what is the fear of God? It's the person that understands the greatness and the awesomeness of the Lord. This is the kind of person who wants to live a life in constant relationship with God. This is the kind of person whose life is filled with wonder, with grace, with love, and desires to grow into perfection. This is the kind of person who is totally dependent upon God. And when we allow these gifts of piety, of fortitude, of fear of the Lord to work in our lives, then there is an interior conversion that is happening, so that in our bodies, that is the way we live, we are growing as people of justice and people of temperance. What is justice? The Catechism says, it is the moral virtue that consists in the constant and firm will to give to God and neighbor that which is their due. Justice towards God is called the virtue of religion. Justice towards people disposes one to respect the rights of other people. You might have heard this story. Five girls from St. Bridget's School the other day decided they wanted to do something to raise money for people in Fort McMurray. So they got together on Friday and they said, "Let's do some paintings." And they stayed up until 11 p.m. and they made 60 drawings, paintings, which yesterday they sold with iced tea. And there was a bus driver who was doing his route, who kept coming around and seeing these girls selling iced tea. And he got off his bus and he bought iced tea for everyone on the bus. Then some people from Fort McMurray came by and got out of their car and saw what these girls were doing, and it moved them to tears. Yesterday, those girls raised $1,000. That is justice. That is the application of this amazing gift that works in our lives, that then needs to be tempered with temperance. What is temperance? It's the moral virtue that moderates the attraction of pleasures and provides balance in the use of those things that God has created. In the book of Sirach, we're told the following. Do not follow your inclination and strength, walking according to the desires of your heart. Do not follow your base desires. Restrain your appetites. Restrain your appetites. That's what temperance is. And so as we allow God to work in our lives, as we allow God to be the illuminating spirit, as we allow God to be the consuming spirit, then he is able to be the warming spirit. And what does he do as the warming spirit? He uses us to warm the lives of others, just as those girls did yesterday with their artwork and their iced tea. The warming spirit of Jesus Christ allows us to be a people who in our life together are learning what it is to be of one accord. That is, we have one gospel, we have one truth, we have one faith that we profess, but that is expressed in such a way that because of our diversity, there is a beautiful and rich tapestry of nations, of peoples, of languages, all coming together. When we allow for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in this way, beautiful things happen. Our collective life touches others with the warmth and the love of Jesus Christ so that they notice. There is a coming together of people whose lives are marked by prudence, justice, and temperance. Such lives speak of another. They speak of the Holy Spirit at work in our own lives. And this is what the church is to be like. We are to be like a roaring campfire on a cool summer night. What happens when there's that kind of fire? Aren't people drawn to it? It's inviting, and it provides community. This is what the church is all about. This is why Jesus gave his Holy Spirit to us. So in conclusion, let me summarize. To live our lives where the illuminative spirit is helping us to grow in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel allows for our minds to be transformed so that we think like Jesus. To allow the consuming spirit to touch our bodies so that we die to sin allows for our bodies to be transformed as we practice piety, fortitude, and fear of the Lord so that we can live like Jesus. And all of this is in the service of becoming a community that exudes a collective warmth of soul that allows us to love like Jesus. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we could think, so that we could live, so that we could love like him. Let us pray. Come, illuminating Holy Spirit, and transform our minds. Come, consuming Holy Spirit, and transform our bodies. Come, warming Holy Spirit, and transform our souls. Come, Holy Spirit, so that we may love and live like you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.